pause there for a while, wouldn't you? Think about that. Thanks, Dan. Well, did you not get one of these? If you didn't, raise your hand. We've got ushers ready to give you one. A little outline of the book of Amos. Ushers, Wes, somebody, they're back there. Okay, we'll get you one momentarily, so wait just a second. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Amos, if you would, please. Amos, Hosea, Joel, Amos, this is our third installment in the Minor Prophets, so-called Minor Prophets series of lessons, Bible lessons. And I'm not sure we'll be back in this series until after the first of the year. I may just preach through December on messages that are geared to the season. And all these are geared to the season, I'm sure. But anyway, we'll, as the Lord leads. But anyway, I want to come to Amos today. So anybody else need an outline? Everybody get one? Okay. And I'm not sure how close I'll stay to that outline, but give you an idea, something to take home too and put in your files and keep for future reference. But I'm going to read chapter 5, verse 4 to start with, and that's on your outline there at the top of the verse. Key verse of the book of Amos. Let's look at it together. Chapter 5, verse 4, Amos 5, 4. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. Thus saith the Lord. Amos is a prophet. Who ministered about 750 years before Jesus was born. He was a farmer, as it says there on your outline, and we see that in chapter 1, verse 1, the words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel. Now, Tekoa is about 10 miles south of Jerusalem, so it's in Judah. Not Israel. This is the time after Solomon when the kingdom was divided. 10 tribes to the north, commonly referred to as Israel, the northern 10 confederate tribes, Israel. And then the two tribes, mainly one, but it's two, small tribe of Benjamin and then Judah, to the south, Jerusalem, Judah. That was after Solomon, after his death, the kingdom was divided. And this is during that period, the divided period. So there was Israel to the north, 10 tribes, and then Judah to the south. And Amos was from Judah, the southern portion, 10 miles south of Jerusalem, Tekoa. He was a farmer. Probably the least likely preacher or prophet amongst the people of his day. Nobody would have picked him probably as God's spokesman. And then if he were going to be God's spokesman, probably no one would have guessed that his message would be geared toward another part of the kingdom up north. He was from the south. So it's interesting that God chose him out of the herdman of Tekoa to preach a powerful message. He was a powerful preacher. He was bold. He forewarned of judgment, as you see there in point two. He minced no words. Maybe that's why he was a farmer. He just didn't. He didn't say things smoothly. He was just pretty rough, pretty bold, pretty straightforward. In fact, chapter 4, verse 1 is a good example. Notice chapter 4, verse 1. He's in a series of messages. And he says, hear this, ye kine of Bashan, that are in the mountains of Samaria. This is the northern part of the kingdom. Again, up north. And he calls them kine. That's a feminine specimen of a bovine specimen of the feminine gender. And if you look it up in the dictionary, which you probably can as I'm speaking if you want to, it's well-fed kine or cattle, usually, and it became known as a slang expression of an overweight woman, basically. And he was talking about to the women. He said, "You're overfed." Notice chapter 3, verse 15. I will smite the winter house, the summer house. The houses of ivory shall perish. The great houses shall have an end. They were living in luxury, basically. They were just. And not just women, but men too. But this is how he singles out some people. Notice verse 4 again, or verse 1 again. Hear this, ye kind of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, that's north, the northern kingdom, which oppress the poor while you live in luxury, which crush the needy while you have your needs more than supplied, which say to their masters, bring, let us drink. They were living in the lap of luxury. They were outwardly religious. You know, they talked about coming to the feast and bringing their offerings. But God says, I'm going to judge you and I'm going to deal with you severely. So that's just kind of his style, the way he approached things. He was not popularly received, as you might guess. Go to chapter 7. Chapter 7. He was not anybody's favorite prophet because of his style, because of his boldness and brashness. Verse 10 of chapter 7. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, that's northern tribe again, one of the places of worship up north, the priest sent to Jeroboam, the king of Israel. So he was the king up northern confederacy. By the way, this was a time, as I don't know if I've got that on your outline, but it was a time of, as I said, of affluence. When Jeroboam was king of Israel, the northern 10 tribes, militarily he was prosperous. He succeeded in expanding the kingdom. There was prosperity, and there was materialism, and there was complacency. Not unlike nations that we are aware of today and that we live in today. But notice, Amaziah the priest said to Jeroboam the king, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. How did Amos know that? By the way, Israel was led away captive, exactly as Amos said would happen. But it was over 20 years later. And unless he had revelation from God, he could not have known that that would happen. But God had obviously told him, as he does his prophets, that this was going to happen. And he delivered God's message. It wasn't his own message. It was God's message. So what he said would happen and what the priest here told Jeroboam Amos said was going to happen did happen. This was about, as I said, about 755, and the northern Confederate tribes, the 10 tribes up north, were carried away by the Assyrians in 722 B.C. It's a matter of historical record. So what Amos predicted, prophesied, would come to pass, did. But you know, it was a source of contempt. Thus saith Amos, Jeroboam shall die by the sword. And verse 12, also Amaziah said unto Amos, here's what the priest said to the prophet. O thou seer, go, flee away into the land of Judah. Go back home, stay there. And there eat bread, and there prophesy. But prophesy not again anymore at Bethel, for it's the king's chapel, it's the king's court. Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son. Remember that one? I'm not a prophet, nor the son of a prophet. But I was a herdman, a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said to me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. So God gave him a message. God gave him a call, a commission, said, Amos, I got a job for you to do. Tending sheep is important, but I've got something else for you to do. I've got a message for you to deliver, not to Judah, but to Israel. I'm going to do something will make their ears tingle. So that's his call. So let's look at his, just briefly, an outline of the book. First of all, chapters 1 and 2 are what we call burdens. A burden is a message that God has given a prophet. He must deliver it. He carries it in his soul. And so he had these burdens. Let's read verses 1 and 2 again. Then the words of Amos, who was among the herdmen of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel, in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake, kind of dates it historically, and he said, the Lord will roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the inhabitants of the shepherds shall mourn, and the top of Carmel shall wither. Thus saith the Lord. And so he's got a burden. He's got a message for several different nations round about. First of all, Damascus. Let's look at verse 3 again. For three transgressions of Damascus and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof, because they have threshed Gilead with threshing instruments of iron. I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will break the bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitant from the plain of Avon. So very severe judgment, fire, and the hand of God, and a strong hand of punishment, because they have mistreated God's people and God's holy land and God's will. So he says, this is a burden. And it's a prophetic formula, or a poetic, actually, for three transgressions and for four. He uses that, I think, in every time. Notice verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Gaza and for four. Verse 9, for three transgressions of Tyre and for four. Verse 11, for three transgressions of Edom, ancient enemy of God's people, and for four. And chapter 2, verse 1, for three transgressions of Moab, and for four. Chapter 2, verse 4, for three transgressions of Judah. Even Judah gets in on the action, and for four. Verse 6, for three transgressions of Israel. This is to whom he his major message was for. For three transgressions of and for four. So that formula occurs. And what he's doing here, he's saying, you've crossed over the line. You've gone one step too far. And so this is a prophetic or poetic for three, even for four. And you probably can find five, but this is the way the prophet delivered his message to all of these nations, beginning with Damascus and ending, as we saw there, with Israel. Each burden involved an indictment for man's inhumanity to man, still present today with us, man's inhumanity to man. Each burden or message of God through the prophet ended with a pronouncement of God's judgment upon those nations. So that's a part of that. Those are the burdens. Notice point two. He gave three major messages from chapters 3 through 6. We're just going to cover the highlights of these. Every one of these would make a sermon in itself. But three major messages. Number one, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, actually verses through verse 15. He sets forth the judgment. Let's look at it again. Chapter 3. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth, therefore will I punish you for all your iniquities. This is a heart-rending message. God speaking to his spatially beloved people, Israel, that he picked up out of a trash heap, so to speak, of nations, and nurtured them. So he says, I've got a message, and this message is one of judgment because of your sin. And I'm not going to read all those 10 verses, but let's drop down to verse 11. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of God, an adversary there shall be even round about the land, and he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled, thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of a bed and in Damascus in a couch. Hear ye, testify in the house of Jacob, saith the Lord God, the God of hosts, that in the day that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel. Those were set up by Jeroboam as convenient places of worship. They became places of idolatry. Bethel and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground, and I will smite the winter house. We've read that in the summer with the summer. So God's judgment, his bar of judgment, is going to come down hard upon the nation of Israel because of their sin, because they had turned away from God. And it was a hard message, but he delivered it. It was a judgment deserved. He lays the case out in the first 10 verses, and a judgment deserved and judgment decreed in the last 4 verses. That's to Israel. No wonder the priest said in chapter 7, go back home. Stay there. We've had enough of your preaching. Notice chapter 4. Again, another message. Judgment deserved. Verses 1 to 11, we've already alluded to that. Their superficial religious activity. Verse 5, and offer sacrifice of thanksgiving, will and proclaim and publish free will offerings. For this liketh you, O ye children of Israel, saith the Lord. I have given you cleanness of teeth in all your cities, want of bread in your places, Yet have ye not returned unto me. I've dealt with ye, said. I've withheld the rain, where there was yet 3 months to the harvest. I caused it to rain upon one city and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, the other piece was, and the piece whereupon it was rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered into one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned to me, saith the Lord. So he just spells out again, this is what I've done. This is how you've reacted. You've responded. And you have not gotten the message. So judgment is decreed. Verse 12, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel. Here's what I'm going to do. Again, he reiterates it. Here's what I'm going to do. Because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Message we need to hear today, isn't it? Prepare, O God, America, to meet God. We've done the same, that we've been blessed. And God's shaken us and stirred us and withheld rain and given us floods and given us fires. But his mercies have always come back, but we still have thumbed our nose at him. And God says to these people, I've overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, verse 11. Ye were as a firebrand plucked out of the burning, yet have ye not returned to me, saith God, the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this to thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formed the mountains and created the wind and declared to man what is thought, what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness and treadeth upon the high place of it, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. Did you notice? He says in verse 2 of chapter 1, or verse 1 of chapter 3, I'm sorry. Verse 1 of chapter 3. Hear this word. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you. Chapter 4, verse 1. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you. Hear this word. Don't miss it. Chapter 5, verse 1. Hear ye this word which I take up against you. Even a lamentation, O house of Israel. How could they miss it? Not a polished prophet. Not somebody been to college. Not somebody been culled and cultivated. No, just somebody picked up out of the farm, off the farm, and no college preparation, no special tutoring training. But God said, Amos, this is a message. You've got to get to Israel. You've got to deliver it. It's going to be a hard message for them to hear. It's going to be tough on you. They're not going to accept you. They're going to reject you as a person. I'm going to tell you to go back home. It won't be easy, but listen, here's your message. Hear ye this word, which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. So everyone, it was directed, after he got by the burdens to Damascus and to all these other nations, Edom and Ammon, after he got past that, then he said, this message is for Israel. I've had a special relationship with them. I picked them up out of nothingness. I brought them out of Egypt, and I've been so good to them and so great. And here's how they've responded. So chapter 5, again, a message that judgment is deserved. And he lays the case out. Let's read a few verses in chapter 5, verse 2. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She's forsaken upon her land. There's none to raise her up. Thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100. That which went out forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, this place of idolatry, nor enter into Gilgal. Pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity. Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live. Lest he break out like fire upon the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth, seek him that he may that him that maketh the seven stars of and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into morning, and maketh the day dark with night. Seek the Lord. That's the message, isn't it? Seek him, seek him, seek him. Same thing we ought to do today, seek the Lord. We need to seek him. America needs to seek him. I need to seek him. You need to seek him. Our church needs to seek him. We need to get on our knees and seek God. That's the answer to our dilemma. Our deadly dilemma that we face as a nation is not the right politician. I hope that God would spare us and give us some leaders in this next election cycle. It would be men of integrity and women of integrity and courage and conviction. But that's not our ultimate answer. Our ultimate answer is God bless America. God help America. God save America. This message so resounds to today. We need to seek him. Our leaders need to seek him. Our churches need to seek him. We've sought programs. We've sought self-help. We've sought everything but God. We need to seek God with all of our heart. Verse 1 of chapter 6, woe to them that are ease in Zion. So by the way, this begins a new section. Woe, but he said, kind of concluding the other, woe to them that are ease in Zion and trust in the mountain of Samaria, which are named chief of the nations to whom the house of Israel. And so he gives them a word of warning. That's chapter 6. Drop down to the third point, the third major point, the five visions. He has some visions. I want to just share this with you. Notice chapter 7, verse 1. Thus hath the Lord showed unto me. Behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. And lo, it was in the latter growth after the king's mowing. And it came to pass that when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee. By whom shall Jacob arise, for he's small? The Lord repented for this. It shall not be, saith the Lord. He saw this, and the prophet prayed. Judgment was averted, verses 2 and 3. Then he saw another one, verse 4. Thus hath the Lord God showed to me. Here's another vision. Behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire and devoured the great deep and did eat up a part. Then I said, O Lord God, cease, I beseech thee. By whom shall Jacob arise? For he's small. And the Lord repented this of this. So he saw the vision of the grasshopper, saw the fire. Thirdly, chapter 7, verse 7. Thus he showed me, here's the third vision, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. And the Lord said, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people. I will not again pass by them anymore. The high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. So that was the vision of the plumb line declared. Notice chapter 8, verse 1. Thus hath the Lord showed unto me. Here's number 4, vision. He showed me this also. And behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. And the Lord said to me, the end has come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. And the songs of the temple shall be howlings. In that day, saith the Lord, there shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. Hear this. So a vision of a basket of summer fruit. Judgment is imminent, he said in verse 2. The end has come. Judgment's imminent. One more, chapter 9, verse 1. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar, and he said, smite the lintel of the door, that the post may shake. Cut them in the head, all of them. I will slay the last of them with sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away. He that escapeth them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell, thence shall my hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. Though they hide themselves at the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. And though they go into captivity before their enemies, thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them. I will set mine eyes upon them. For evil and not for good. Wow, what a message. What an awful message. What a terrible message of judgment. Oh, wouldn't it be better to seek the Lord? But Israel didn't. Israel didn't. They scoffed the prophet. They howled him. They sent him back to Judah. And God said, this is what I'm going to do. Well, that's the message of Amos. It's a message of judgment. Message pleading for the people of God to turn while there's time to turn. A message that God said, I've seen this, but it repented me. I'm not going to do this, but... And then he shows him that. But I'm not going to... But the ultimate judgment is, I'm going to send you into captivity, and you'll never be able to hide from me. You go down into hell, there's not a place to hide there. Up to the heavens, there's not a place to hide. Verse 27 of chapter 5, therefore will I cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, saith the Lord, whose name is the God of Israel. Verse 17 of chapter 7, therefore thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be an harlot in the city, thy sons and daughters shall fall by the sword, thy land shall be divided by lion, thou shalt die in the polluted land, Israel shall go into captivity forth of his land. What a message. What an awful message. Verse 14 of chapter 8, they that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again. The idolaters and citadels of idolatry will be destroyed. Dan and Beersheba. And verse 10 of chapter 9, all the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake us nor prevent us. They said, the prophet, he's, you know, don't worry, don't get too upset. He needs not take his religion so seriously. You know, he's become a fanatic. Yeah, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. But God said, verse 9, chapter 9, I will sift the house of Israel among all the nations like a corn sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die, he said. In that day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David that has fallen. I will close up the breaches of it. I will raise up his ruins. I will build it as the days of old. So verse 11 of chapter 9 gives a glimpse into the future after God's dealt with them, and he did. Allowed them to go into captivity. Allowed them to suffer the consequences of their unrepentant sin. God says, okay, this is what I'm going to do, and he did it. And it's a matter of historical record. 722, as I said, they went into Assyrian captivity. They have never returned to their land, homeland. They've never. Now, 1948, Israel became a nation again. But Jews, by and large, and some have gone back, but by and large, they're scattered around the world still today and will be till Jesus comes again. He's going to bring them back in a day. But notice, and this refers to that. Let's read the last four verses or five of Obadiah chapter 9. In that day, this goes into the future. In that day, that's that prophetic formula. In that day. The last days. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that's fallen, close up the breaches and so forth. Verse 12, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, the treader of grapes, him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and the hills shall melt, and I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel. Never happened yet, but he will. I'll bring again the captivity, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink wine thereof, and they shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled out of their land which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Amen. 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 God's going to get the ultimate victory. He's given us a promise. He's merciful. He's gracious. He's going to restore them. Now, Judah went into captivity in 605 B.C., which was 100 years or so after Israel, the northern 10 tribe. They went into captivity, and they did return. Remember, under Ezra and Nehemiah, some of those, they did come back, and they somewhat rebuilt the city and the walls. But the northern 10, Israel, never did return from their, but they will, according to Hosea chapter 9 in the last few, they will. God's going to bring them back, and God's going to put them in, and nobody will ever pull them up again. To God be the glory. He's going to get the last say. What's the message of Amos? Well, the message of Amos is seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. It's a universal message. Just as applicable now as it was when the old rusty farmer prophet preached it. Seek the Lord. Not a popular message. Not one that the public wants to hear today, but it's the message America needs to hear. Seek the Lord. Now, we're not his chosen people. But blessed is the nation that fears the Lord. Blessed is the nation that fears the Lord. God has blessed us, but we're not fearing him today. That's our only hope. Pray that because of churches like this and people like you and all across the land and churches that believe in missions and send out missions, that God would just, he's shown us the vision. Oh, this is what I can do. And he's given us a glimpse of what is happening, fires and floods and all sorts of major crises. You kind of hate to see the news in the morning. And these are just kind of glimpses of America self-destructing, God staying it full force. And we believe in the imminent coming of Jesus, the rapture. But we don't know when it's going to come. But in the meantime, we need to seek God as a people. Every one of us, draw a circle around yourself and say, oh God, I'm going to start seeking you. I'm going to begin today to seek you more earnestly. I'm going to seek you more faithfully. I'm going to seek you more fervently. I'm going to seek you. And you can't look at the other person and say, well, he's not seeking the Lord. No, just, it's me, oh Lord. I need to seek God. I need to hear the message of Amos. Father in heaven, thank you for the message of Amos. It speaks to our hearts today. It was historical, but also prophetical. It was to the nation of Israel, those northern Confederate tribes that were living in luxury, so to speak. They were complacent. They were successful. They lived in ivory palaces. They sipped the best wine of the day. They had servants. They crushed needy people in order to get what they had. No thought of tomorrow. No thought of accountability to God. And you spoke to them through an old prophet. He must have seemed so out of place in their affluent society. His voice must have rang so rudely and crudely in their civilized place, cushy places. But you used him. And probably his message, seek the Lord, was remembered, but too late by many. Too late by many. Help us to hear the message today, that we will seek you, that we will lead our families to seek you, that this church will be a God-seeking church, not in the sense that we want you to bless us like you did Israel as a nation. We know that we're the body of Christ, but we want your blessings upon our families, upon our nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. We want to be that nation. We want to continue to be that nation. So Lord, bless this message that in. Help us not to forget it. Help us to heed it and to do what Amos said. Hear ye the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Seek ye the Lord. Prepare to meet thy God. Prepare to meet thy God. Help us to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.